Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Lord put it on my heart to kind of do like a New Year's message. We're going to be looking at a couple verses in Philippians chapter 3. If you have need of a Bible, you just got to raise your hand and follow along. Philippians chapter 3. And if you don't mind, and if you can, if you would stand with me as we have this first prayer of 2020 at church. You know, as New Year's come, we always make commitments, make dedications, make resolutions. But I just want to pray that this year would be a year we grow closer to God, that we get closer to the Lord, that we're more sensitive to His Holy Spirit, that we learn His Word a little bit more deeply, again, growing in the Lord. That's the reason we exist. This church exists, to people to grow in the Lord. So let's just bow our hearts and bow our heads and ask God to do that very thing. God, we stand before you this morning, so grateful to be able to worship your name. And just that word worship, God, just so touched my heart this morning as we sang that last song, that we would truly worship you, the one God, the true God, our Savior Jesus. That we would be sensitive this year to the Holy Spirit, that our ears would be in tune, that our hearts would be open to whatever it is you have in store for us. Lord, we know it's just another year. We know it's just a change of a calendar date. But Lord, it can also come with new beginnings. And for that reason, we're excited that you would do a new work in each and every person standing this morning, that you would do a work in them, because when you do a work in them, you do a work in this world. And I pray that each and every person in this room would be filled so much with the Holy Spirit that the people around them would also feel your presence. The people they come in contact with, strangers, friends, coworkers, classmates, whoever, God, we just pray that we would make an impact in 2020 in a way that would just bring glory and honor to you. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about our Savior Jesus. And for that reason, we pray that when we study your word, that it would become a part of us, that it would prepare us and equip us for the events and the activities and the things that we will participate in 2020. God, give us the joy of the Lord. May that be our strength. We give you the glory. We give you the praise as we look to your word now. Please, we pray, open the scriptures to us. Penetrate our hearts and minds. Transform us to be those men and women, those Christians that truly follow Christ with all of our hearts. To you be the glory, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's only a couple verses here in Philippians chapter 3 we're going to look at, but it's a great reminder, and I've entitled this morning's message, Following Good Advice. You know, when we read the scriptures, we got to realize these scriptures are written to us. They're written to you specifically. So when you read your Bible, when you see a verse, or when you consider the word of God, it's speaking to you. So we need to take it personally. So that's why I've entitled it Following Good Advice. What Paul is writing to the church of Philippians is good advice for them. And he's using himself as an example, and all of us in this room are examples of followers of Christ. Now, some of us are good examples and some of our character can be bad examples, but we're still examples nonetheless. And so for that reason, I want us to come this morning with this heart. Lord, what are you going to do in 2020? I want to follow this good advice. You know, it's always that time of year where people make, and I don't like the word, resolutions, right? We make a resolution. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do this less. I'm going to, you know, hopefully by July, I'll have a few extra pounds off of my body. Anybody eat too much this holiday season? I did. I made the mistake of getting on the scale this morning. Bad idea. Bad idea. I have work to do, right? We all do. But these resolutions, do you know, I looked it up last night, the statistics, 80% of people that make resolutions fail at them by February. We don't even make it halfway through the year. Oh, it's just so disheartening. But, you know, Let's be honest, how many of us have kept our diets? How many of us do keep to the exercise routine? Not many. Well, this year I've decided to do something different. I'm pretty sure I can hit my resolution. This year I'm going to eat more and exercise less. That's obtainable. We can all do that. And that's the thing when it comes to the new year, and like I said, I don't like the word resolution because they're vague. They're just out there. I want to exercise more. I want to pray more. I want to read my Bible more. I want to do bad things less. You know, I want less anger to come out of my... You know, all of these generalities, that's easy to fail at. And the problem with us is we want to see results, and if we don't see results quickly, then we give up. We quit. We got to set... What I like to use the word, instead of resolution, set a goal. Set a goal. Maybe for you it's, I want to, you know, run a marathon. Or maybe I would just want to run a 5K. Don't even go for a marathon. I mean, to me, that's ridiculous anyway. It's like, anyway. But set obtainable goals. You know, I want to pray more consistently. I want to pray more effectively. I want to spend time with God. And again, set those specific goals. You know, there's 7 days in a week. And if we try to say, I want to pray every single day, or I'm going to read my Bible every single day, that's a goal that will fail quickly. But what if we said, okay, out of 7 days, I'm going to pray at least 4. That's more than 50%. Set a goal. Because I believe what happens is when we obtain that goal that's achievable, it'll encourage us to exceed that goal. And I think by the middle of the year, we might actually be praying every single day. Because our communication with God will have strengthened, God will have empowered us, and he may have answered some of our prayers, and that encourages us to do it all the more. That's how it is with exercise. When you begin to see results, when you begin to feel yourself becoming healthier, you want to do it more. And you want to encourage other people to do the very same thing. So I encourage us all, this year, no resolutions, set some goals. And for every single person in this room, the goal might be different. But set that goal, write it down, and then take some steps to fulfill that goal. Again, if you just put it out there and you don't take any actions, again, by February, you will have failed. Set those goals, obtainable and measurable. They must be measurable. You have to achieve a milestone in order to keep up with that goal. Well, I suggest as we look at this text in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, that we glean from the Apostle Paul what his commitment was, what his goal was, in, I believe, in his life, would be something that we can all also apply to our lives. Read with me, if you will, in verse 13 of chapter 3. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's the text this morning I want us to look at. Paul's heart for this church, Paul's heart for his brothers and sisters, is he's saying, listen, I do not count myself as to apprehend it. See, Paul says, I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. And if anyone in this room has arrived, man, I want to hang out with you. How did you get there? Because it's all something we're getting close. As long as we're on this side of heaven, we're never going to have arrived. And so Paul reminds them, I don't count myself as apprehended, because I would think some of the people in the church looked to Paul and said, man, he's got it down. You ever know anybody like that? Seem like they always have their stuff together. You know, they're always on time. They're always at peace. Maybe nobody's like that. I don't know. But Paul wasn't that person that is right. No, I haven't apprehended yet. And the thing about following good advice, which I believe this is really good advice, is the first thing he says, "What one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." If you're taking notes this morning, or take a mental note, forget your failures. Forget your failures. Every single one of us in this room have failed this past year. Some of us may have actually failed this morning. Right? In the last 10 minutes, maybe. I failed some of the lyrics we were singing. You know, you get off track. But you got to forget your failures. And that's what I love about the Apostle Paul. He says, but the one thing I do, if there's one thing you can do this year, it's to let go of the past. Let go of the past. Now, in the context that Paul's writing, I believe it is he's letting go of the negative things in his life. But we also need to let go of the positive things. Sometimes we're living in the past. And when I think about forgetting our failures or forgetting our past, is forgetting those things that we're longing for. You know, always living yesterday. You know, how many people do we know? Oh, when I used to live so-and-so, or when I used to live in Florida, man, life was good. Or when I first got saved, man, I was so close to the Lord. We live back there. We're so discouraged about our current condition that we're living in the past. Paul's saying, if there's one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget the past. And notice it says, forgetting those things. Circle that in your Bible or highlight it in your Bible. What are those things for you that you need to forget? What are some things in your life that you need to say, I got to stop thinking about that. I got to stop dwelling on that. It might be a person. It might be a place. It might be a career. It could be anything. What are those things in your life that you hold on to, that you aren't letting go of? Now, if they're hopes and dreams, that's one thing. But if they're just things that are holding you and bogging you down, you've got to let them go, my friends. If you want God to do something amazing in your life in 2020, we got to let go of some things. Anybody with me? Anybody got some things that they want to get rid of? Again, it's placing those things at the altar. Okay, it's putting them in God's hands and saying, I'm forgetting these things. I'm letting these things go. God, help me to do that. You know, and I'm going to say this. So the word forget in the Bible does not mean to fail to remember. Listen to this. The word forget in the Bible means to no longer be influenced by that thing. That's different, isn't it? Because I believe there's things that we should remember in our past. Because those things that have happened to you, those things that have experiences that you've gone through has made you the person that you are today. What the danger is if you're influenced by them, if they're holding you back, if they're slowing you down. I would encourage all of us, write those things down. Keep them in front. You know, I have a little sticky note. It'd be great to write those things down that you want to let go of and stick them somewhere until you get to the place where you can cross off those things because you're not dwelling on them any longer. What are they for you? Because here's the thing. If we just hope they're going to go, if we just hope that God will take them away from us, how many of us have ever prayed, God, please take this from me? God, remove this thought process. God, remove this desire. God, remove this person, whatever. Remove this sin from me. God's saying, I'll remove it if you take steps. God will remove it if you take steps to remove that thing from you. I don't know why I always use the illustration of smoking. You know, people want to quit smoking, but they keep buying cigarettes. Okay? I want to give up sugar, but I keep finding Reese's peanut butter cups in my house. And every time I open the fridge, there they are. I know. I was getting to that. The ones that are in the refrigerator or the freezer don't belong to me. But when they fall out of the refrigerator, that's my territory. Do you know how long it takes a frozen Reese's Pieces to thaw? I do. Anyhow, my point is, if I'm addicted to something, if I'm drawn to something, it is in my best interest to remove those things. Or to pray that my wife will eat those things out of the refrigerator. Because I'm a sugar addict. Sometimes we've got to take steps. Oh yes, it would be nice just to forget. But Paul says, but one thing I do. You see the action there? Paul says, the one thing I do is I purposely forget those things. Now for Paul, I would think, and I wrote this in my notes, I would think for Paul, what he's got to forget is that he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He persecuted the church of the Lord of his life. He had to forget that. Can you imagine how debilitating that thought would be? I'm here to serve the Lord. I've been called by God, but yet I persecuted his body, his people. That would be debilitating if he didn't let that go. Now, Paul was very much of a follower of the law. He had to let that go. For how many years of his life did he follow the law to the letter? You know, he had to let that go. There's some habits in this room that people need to let go. And that's the first step. What I love the fact is he says, the one thing I do is I forget some things, but then he does something also. He adds to that thing. We'll look at that in a moment. Say to yourself, when you have these things that you want to let go, say this, with God's help, I'm going to forget my past. You may not forget it on your own. The enemy's going to love reminding you of your past. But you've got to learn to, God, help me not to dwell on it. Help me not to be so focused on it. It pales in comparison to some major struggles, but I mean, I look back at my wife and I's early years, even before we were believers. There was a second apartment we lived at in Florida. And it's almost like a movie in my head. My wife and I coming home from work to play with our little white dog, Chelsea. That's all we did. We didn't have a lot of responsibilities. We didn't have a lot of things that we needed to do. We just got to go home and enjoy watching our little dog chase a ball and getting all excited about, oh, who's at the door, Chelsea? And she would bark with that little bark. Don't ever teach your dog to bark. Bad idea. But I look back at those days, I'm like, boy, life was simple back then, wasn't it? No. Life's too hard to be getting a dog right now. I don't mind the dog, but I want the life that comes with it. It's not the dog I'm focusing on. It's the fact that we didn't have anything to do but lay around in our pajamas at night videotaping a dog. Literally. See, some of us are even thinking about days gone by. Remember when life was easier? Listen, life may be more difficult, but I bet it's richer. I bet it's full of amazing blessings from the Lord. And if it's not, maybe there's some things you got to remove out of your life. Maybe there's some things you need to set aside so you can get back to the focus that God has for you. Maybe you right now need to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Let him forgive you for the mistakes you've made. See, the Apostle Paul had to forget some things. He had to forget those things that were behind. He had to forget his mistakes and receive the forgiveness that God had for him. Only then can you begin to thrive in your life. If you're being bogged down and dwelled because you're not feeling like the Lord has forgiven you for something, God loves you unconditionally. He loves you so much. He died on a cross for you. And he wants you to live a life of abundance and victory over sin. Guys, let his forgiveness wash over you. Some of you need to forgive yourselves here this morning. Maybe for some people in this room, there's years of pain that has been buried deep down. Ask God to reach down and grab that pain and bring it to the surface and deal with it. Deal with it. Look at this verse in 1 John. See, the way we deal with difficulties in our lives or our past or our failures is we obsess over them. Again, we think about them. Maybe we bring them up. Maybe the enemy reminds us. Maybe other people remind us of the mistakes we made. Look what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does that sound vague? Does that sound like a generality? No, if we confess our sin, if we confess, God, I keep dwelling on something you've already forgiven me for. God, I'm dwelling on this thing that I did years and years and years ago, and I can't confess it to him. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that you can stand before God, and I believe this world, cleansed, pure, holy. But it takes action. You must do this. And that's what I believe for 2020 is we take action on these things that are holding us back. that we take action, because we have to get these things that are holding us back and are hindering us, and we need to get rid of them so that we can run the race that God has for us. So we can run the race that God has for us. To me, the best example in the Bible is the story of Joseph. Remember Joseph, his brothers threw him in a pit, and then they sold him. Do you remember in the Bible when it talks about his brothers coming back to see him for the second time, and he reveals to them who he was? Joseph could have easily held remorse against his brothers, but he did not. And do you know why he did not? I mean, he was justified, right? They wronged him. But what did he say? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Joseph looked at what his brothers did, or any situation in your life, and he saw it from God's perspective. Whatever it is you're holding on to, whatever things you've got on your list, look at them from God's perspective. Look at them, how they made you a better person, those experiences. There's a lot of experiences in my life I wish I never had to go through. But I'm glad I went through them because God got me through them. And it's a testimony for the Lord. And if that's to me, that's enough. That God shows himself faithful through those difficult things. Let's be like Joseph. Let's not hold grudges. Let's not, try to get back. Let's see it from God's perspective. That's forgetting the failures. That's letting go and letting God do his work. The second thing. Not only does he say forgetting those things which are behind, look what he says, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting your failures, but focusing on your purpose. Focusing on your purpose. Forget your failures. Focus on your purpose. Because look what he says in verse 14. I press toward the goal. There's that word, goal, not resolution. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Everyone in this room, I want to remind you that God has a call upon your life. God has a plan and a purpose for you. There's a reason why you're saved. There's a reason why you're in the body of Christ. And what I love the fact is Paul says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. The prize is the call. And that's his goal. He's pressing towards that. What is your purpose? As we enter a new year, 2020, how has God knit you together to be a part of this church, of this body, of your community, of your neighborhood, of your workplace? What's your purpose? Paul's focus, the one thing I do, is I keep my eyes on the goal. Paul basically is illustrating a runner, right? Someone who's running a race. They tell all athletes, if they're a runner, you don't turn around and look where everybody is behind you. You keep your eyes on the goal. You keep your eyes on the finish line. And you keep running. And that takes determination, doesn't it? That takes dedication. That takes commitment. I would suggest that this would be a wonderful goal for all of us. That we would look ahead, that we wouldn't be looking behind, that we would be looking ahead, looking at this year, looking at the opportunities God's going to give to us. And maybe he's already laid the groundwork. He's already had, 5 days this year. He's laid the groundwork. And maybe he's going to do something amazing in you and through you this year. What is it? Listen to it. Ask God, what is it you want me to accomplish this year? Who do you want me to impact this year? I find that I can deal with my issues in my life a lot easier when I'm focused on other people, to help other people. Maybe God's placed someone in your life. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your friends. Someone that he wants you to pour into. A call that he has upon you, a purpose. And as I look around the room, some of you are going, I hope it's not that one person. Mm-hmm. I saw it in your eyes. It often is that one person you don't want to reach out to. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And here's the wonderful part and the scary part. You may not feel equipped to do it. That is the best part. Because when you're not equipped to do something God has asked you to do, now you got to see God really work. Not only will he impact that other person, he's going to impact you as well. Be open to it. Be ready to receive it. This is following good advice. I think this would be a wonderful couple verses for 2020 for all of us. Every day, wake up. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm going to forget what happened yesterday. I made mistakes. I failed. It's going to happen, guys. Be prepared for it. But let's focus on the 12 or whatever, the 24 hours that are ahead of us. Let's focus on those things and press forward the goal of the upward call of God. See, Paul wanted to get to that place when he crossed the finish line when his Savior said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Paul wanted to be the one that stood in first place on the platform after the race was over. There's going to be a lot of us in this room that are going to be standing in that first place when we cross the finish line and we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your Father's rest." Those are the words we want to hear. The enemy wants to trip you up. The enemy wants to hold you back. He wants you to get discouraged. Listen, I'm looking at 2020 for our church, and I'm like, "Lord, do what only you can do." And, my wife asked me this morning, "Do I have a word for this year?" Everybody's kind of doing that. What's the word? And I didn't really have one until this morning. I feel like the Lord just put worship on my heart. To truly, not be a worshiper, but to worship him. To truly worship God. Because he's so worthy. I want to read this story. Aviation pioneer Hadley Page didn't like it, but he had to fly into a remote area and land. His landing went fine, and so did the takeoff. But then it happened. He heard gnawing. It must be a rat, probably a huge jungle rat. Page's stomach sank as he thought about how much damage a gnawing rat could do on delicate aviation systems. He remembered that rats can't live at high altitude. So he pulled back on the stick and began to climb. Higher and higher the plane soared until even Page found it hard to breathe. Gasping for breath, he listened. The gnawing stopped. He did not hear it again, so he hoped for the best, and at his next stop, sure enough, Hadley Page found a dead rat behind the cockpit. Why would I tell you a story about a dead rat? Altitude. When you've got life gnawing at you, when you got things coming into your life, what do we need to do? We need to get to a higher altitude. We need to get closer to God. Draw close to him. He will draw close to you. He says, "Seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you." Get closer to God. And all these gnawing things that you're struggling with or dealing with in your life are going to be pale in comparison because you're getting closer to the Lord. Are you close to Jesus? If I asked you this morning, do you feel close to the Lord? Would you say, "Absolutely yes"? Or would you say, "It's been a while"? How do you get close to God? How do you get close to God? I'd love to tell you how to do it, but only you know how to do it. Only you know where that time is for you to spend time with the Lord. Some people like getting up early. Some people don't like getting up early. Some people like staying up late. Spending time with God. Talking to him. Communing with, listening to him. As you get closer to God, these things in your life will go away. Those things that you need to set aside, those things that you need to strive for and grab after will become more and more evident. But you've got to spend time with him. This is what I want you to consider. How much time you give to everything else in your life. How much time you give to, maybe it's exercise, maybe it's video games, maybe it's internet, social media, work, life. Why does everything else get priority? And when it comes to the Lord, we give him whatever's left over. God, this is all I got. That's all I got left over. 15 minutes at the end of the day before I fall asleep on my bed, on my pillow. You've heard me say it a million times. If you schedule everything else in your life, schedule time with God. Schedule time with God. Put it in there. Even if you miss it a day, may it, that reminder be there the next day. Get close to Jesus. Look with me in chapter 4 of the same book, Philippians. But look with me at verse 11. Paul says this. Again, Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. The very same man that said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind and I'm striving for the things in front of me. He was able to stand and say, I'm content no matter where I'm at. Would you say you are a content person? Content in where you are today? Sorry. Content. Are you happy with your relationship with God? Are you happy where God has you? Are you happy as a human? Excuse me. Happy as a human being? In the place that you are? Or is there something that's striving you for more? Pulling you to be more? I want to get to that place where I can say, no matter what state I'm in, I'm content. People will tell you, you know, I have a pretty even-keeled personality. I don't let things bother me. But maybe I do. Maybe I just hold them in. Maybe that's where you're at. You're just holding those things in. You're not really content. On the outside, it looks like you're content, but on the inside, there's turmoil. Maybe this year is your year to deal with contentment. Jesus says this, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. I want to talk about following good advice. Give your life. Yes, it's hard. Yes, you'll be tired. Yes, there'll be long hours. But give it your best shot. Give it everything you have and watch God add to it. You can't save your life. Only Jesus can save you. And at the end of your life, we can look back and say, look at all the wonderful things God has done. Look how God has provided. There's many people in this room that have seen the grace of God in action as he's carried us through season and season and season. And for many of us, 2019 was one of the hardest years ever. And maybe we say that every year. But it may have been hard, but do you also see the blessings that came with it? Do you also see the blessings that came with it? The maturity, the growth. We're all being perfected. We're all being made mature in the Lord. We want to be those Christians that say, yeah, life was tough, but we made it to the end. Maybe there's some people in this room that feel like giving up. It's like it's too hard. I'm going to get new school, new workplace, new state. People want to move and change their environment. Sometimes changing the environment doesn't change things. Just makes it look the same in a different place. It's got to change in the heart. It's got to change in you. Place your life in God's hands. It's the best place for it to be, Jesus tells us. So I'm asking you, if this isn't good advice for 2020, to set a goal, to be drawn closer to God, if nothing else, may you grow closer to God this year. And may you encourage others to do the same. Let's hold each other accountable to it. Let's check in on other people. I've been meeting regularly with one of the men in our fellowship, encouraging him. And as I encourage him, I also be encouraged. As I encourage him to be a good husband to his wife, I want to be a better husband to my wife. So find those opportunities to pour your life into others. And let's see 2020 be a year where God does the amazing, that he just blows our minds. He can do that, and he will do it. We're going to partake of communion because it's the first Sunday of this week. So as the gentlemen get the elements, I want us to be thinking about and considering, again, a new year. Maybe there's some goals I found this picture. New Year goals. Maybe there's a list in your head that you have of things that you want to achieve and accomplish. It's one thing to list the goals. It's another thing to make a plan to meet those goals. Don't just put them on a piece of paper and then stick the paper in the back of your Bible and never see it again. Commit them to prayer. So in this time, as we remember what Jesus has done, his goal was to die for the world. And he did it. He accomplished it. Maybe during this time of communion, we'll ask the Lord to help us meet our goals this year and exceed those goals. So as the gentlemen are getting the elements prepared, let's close in a prayer. Father God, we thank you so much. How grateful we are that we know you, Lord. There's so much to be thankful for. But to know that we believe in the true God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the one who can do the impossible, the one who can raise the dead. God, we ask that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to you, to your will, to your plan, to your purposes. We pray for that call that you have on each of our lives. As believers in Jesus Christ, as the ones that are your children, as the ones that are your body, that are the soldiers that are to go out into this world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. God, we don't want to do it in the flesh. We want to do it in the spirit. So we pray this year, as we're being more sensitive to the things of the spirit, as we're being drawn closer to you, that you would speak clearly, that you would equip us with everything that we need to do good works, to be gracious, to be forgiving, to be generous, to be loving. Lord, we don't want more of those things. We want to be those things. For you are those things, and we want to be like you. And so as we enter this time of communion and we remember what you've done for us, Lord Jesus, may you also remind us that it's because of joy you endured the cross. You went to the cross and you willingly gave your life that we would live. So as we spend this time remembering what you've done, may we each be encouraged that you are never going to leave us or forsake us, that you will always be with us, and that you will be there in our time of need. May we never forget that. To you be the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.